Please turn to Luke 11, and you might want to mark Matthew 6. Last time we decided it was fair for believers to pray and to work and to pray and to see what God might do, we continue taking a step further. I'm not going to study the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to study some of the teaching about prayer that surrounds the teaching on the Lord's Prayer. So tonight, first I'm going to read Luke 11, 5 to 13. So this is in Luke's accounting of the Lord teaching the Lord's Prayer, what he continues to teach after. So Luke 11, 5 to 13. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And for those who have Matthew 6 marked, I'm going to read some selections. First, I'm going to read Matthew 6, 5 through 8. "And when you pray," I'll give you a moment. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Then 14 and 15. "If you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." And finally, 33 and 34. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Lord, as we consider your word, we pray that you would write it upon our hearts, that you would give us understanding, that you would make us more like Jesus through our time together tonight. We pray in his name. Amen. The larger catechism, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of his Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. That's prayer. Last time we said prayer is a means of practicing dependent discipline. Or as Jerry Bridges said it specifically, prayer is the tangible expression of our dependence. Prayer, the tangible expression of our dependence. And so as we discussed last week, thinking of Psalm 127, We pray and we work. We work and we pray. Now, this is as Christians. For those saved by grace, united to Christ, a part of the family, as we now live the Christian life, we pray and we work and we work and we pray. So if last Sunday evening we were maybe thinking of some parameters of Christian prayer and expectation, today we go a little deeper into, I think, our motivations for prayer, how our faith works in prayer, and how we might develop a spirit of prayer. So the first section I read, Luke 11, really it's a parable of the neighbor who has a friend come into town and then needs to feed him at midnight. Jesus uses a parable to tell us how we ought to approach our Heavenly Father. I want to give five, there could be many more, I'm going to give five brief keys from that here just very quickly from that parable. Number one, as we pray, we want to shamelessly acknowledge our needs. That's what he does. It is midnight. His friend has gotten there. It is a custom of hospitality in the day. Sometimes people would travel at night. Mary and Joseph traveled all night to Bethlehem on that particular trip. They would travel at night. A friend arrives at midnight. He is out of bread. He shamelessly, he goes to his friend. I mean, if you're going to go to your friend at midnight, as everyone's in bed in the one-room house, they're all tucked in, then it means you're a needy person and that you're not afraid to say, neighbor, I have a friend here. I need to show him hospitality. Please help me. It's being humble. Lord, I'm in need. In our session meeting tonight, we considered Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That means lay face down in complete dependence upon him, that word trust. So we shamelessly bring, with no shame involved, Lord, I am a needy person. Number two, I think in his explanation at the end, where he then brings in the idea of the Father and the Son, he is reminding us that we ask for our prayers to the Lord from our spirit of adoption that we've received, that the Holy Spirit has given us, that sense of being adopted as God's children. We ask as sons and daughters to a Father who we know knows our needs and is very willing to meet them. So we do ask from the sense of being in a family with that spirit of adoption working in our hearts as we go to the Lord in prayer. Third, there is a sincerity of motive in the parable. He wants to provide food for his friend. Now, as I read, they would say that a piece of bread or the little loaf would be about as big as your hand, and you would need three of those per person to sort of fill them up. And that's why Jesus, it said, even uses when he asked for, in one of the accounts, said, would he ask for bread, would he give him a stone? But he's sincere. In the parable, the friend of the visitor asks his neighbor so that he can serve his friend. And he puts his own pride, his own reputation, you know, his own getting up in the night, going at midnight, asking the neighbor. He's sincere. He's not going to go wake his neighbor up for any reason. He's waking his neighbor up because his friend needs to eat. He's been on a journey, it's midnight, and he needs food. Fourth, he tells us, be persistent in your practice in prayer. Again, Jesus fills in some things. He says, you know what? In this case, your neighbor may not help you because he's happy and he's joyful and he just can't wait to get up at midnight and provide you some bread for your friend. But because of your impudence, what I'm going to sort of translate and apply as persistence. Friend, neighbor, I need some bread. Just keep knocking. Keep knocking until he answers. Persistence. We should keep knocking on heaven's door, shouldn't we? And then fifth, again, there's many more things we could think about, but Jesus then argues from the lesser to the greater. You know, he says, look, if in this scenario you get your bread, then your Heavenly Father surely is going to provide your needs. Now, the other scripture I read from Matthew 6, let me just say a few things about that. It has the exhortation for simple and sincere prayers. We don't have to heap up words. We can be simple and clear and sincere in our words to the Lord as we pray. That section reminds us there's both public and private prayer. Now, it focuses on private prayer, but not to the exclusion of public prayer. We will pray publicly. When we're all praying together, we don't have to worry. We can be at ease. We can pray. pray simple prayers together. We're not trying to impress each other. We're all acknowledging our dependence on God. He underscores the spirit of confession and forgiveness. As we pray, we need to be praying from a spirit of being forgiving people to one another, that we might receive that forgiving spirit from our Lord in heaven. And then he tells us not to worry. Don't be anxious. God cares for the sparrows. God clothes the lilies of the field. You seek God's kingdom in everything you do, and you'll receive what you need. Now, I chose the Luke section as our main passage because of verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give what? Whom? He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. I believe in Matthew it says he'll give good things to those who ask, but who is the ultimate one who gives the good things? Who's the one who we need the most, more than anything? The Holy Spirit. Luke gets really specific. He describes the greater gift that we need and that we get. We get him. He dwells within us. And with him, we can develop a prevailing spirit of prayer. In fact, he's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he? The Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us. Now, in one of the books I've been reading about this topic, David Mathis, and I probably mentioned this a few weeks ago, he calls the Holy Spirit the X factor in our Bible study, in our Bible reading, the X factor. If you have the Holy Spirit leading you, then you're going to have a robust Bible reading. You're going to learn. You're going to be sanctified as you read. Well, I think the same thing goes in prayer. He's the X factor in prayer. His ministry as we pray, you know, as we close our eyes and we pray here from earth, you know, sending our prayers up to heaven, he gives us assurance that he knows what we need, that he's with us. He gives us hope that he'll answer. He helps us to be patient in our prayers, persevering in our prayers. The Holy Spirit even gives us joy as we wait to see how God will answer. In fact, he transforms something seemingly simple into something supernatural. Holy Spirit does as he is with us when we pray. So how do we apply these things we've just discussed into our lives? Well, first, remember, and this is a simple, something else that I've mentioned before, but the biggest reason that we read the scripture, and also the biggest reason now as we're discussing prayer, we pray so that we can get more of Jesus, so that we can know him better, so that we can we partake of these means of grace, of these spiritual disciplines, so that our relationship with the Lord will grow. So that we may grow in our relationship with the Father through the finished work and continuing intercessory work of his Son, and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's Trinitarian. We just sang, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the Blessed Trinity. He's the one, as Father, Son, and Spirit, that works together within us to help us see that he's the great treasure. So that's why we pray, because he's the treasure. Not just the stuff we get. If we're just looking for the stuff, the benefits, then we're not really engaging in Christian Bible reading and Christian prayer. We want him. We want more of him. Next, I want to give a few things from I'm just going to read kind of a few phrases from the New Testament discussing the early church. Listen, in the early church, Acts 1:14, we're told, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. And then Paul, listen to just a few things of Paul's overarching charge about to his congregations as he wrote letters. Romans 12:12, be constant in prayer. Colossians 4:21, continue steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Then Ephesians 6:18, be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So we pray that we might have more of Christ, know God better. We also make it a part of our life, something that we do regularly. We have to ask God's help to develop in us that spirit of prayer that will do it regularly. All right, next, number three, in terms of applying it. Well, we pray both privately and with groups. And in each of these, and I think it works for both, You have sometimes that you have times where you've planned to pray, and you have both, this would be by yourself, and also for us, for example, on a Wednesday night. We plan out, we put it on the calendar, you put it into your daily schedule, where you know I'm going to spend a certain amount of time praying. Planned and protracted times of fervent prayer. At these times, we would typically work through acts, that is, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Or maybe you take the Lord's Prayer, and work through the different sections of the Lord's Prayer and expand it. But we also gather both together and also individually to pray for needs as they come up, when certain needs come up. In the community, in the congregation, in individual lives, we take time just to pray for that, those specific needs. And then, of course, as each of us, as we go about the day, we just have words of prayer. Just a moment where, Lord, help me as I now go meet and with this meeting, as I go through this part of my day. Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for the beauty of the, what a beautiful day today. We've had some beautiful days, haven't we? I have to wonder, it's been kind of cold lately, where a few months ago in the winter, it felt like it was warm, and these days it's felt kind of like a little bit of winter, but it's been beautiful days. Thank you, Lord, for these beautiful days. So our hope is that prayer will become a habit. Part of our rhythms of our lives, both internally in our own hearts and as we, as individuals and as a congregation, go through each day of our life. It will just become part of who we are, people who pray. J.I. Packer says, how we pray is as important a question as we can face as Christians. And again, let me tell you, I'm a person who's working on my prayer, and basically I'm bringing y'all in with me. That's one reason we're doing this. I guess I'm just sort of bringing the congregation in with my own things that I'm learning. So this isn't for you to feel bad about not praying enough. It's to say, thank you, Lord. You're a great God. You've given me your Son. You've put your Spirit within me. Help me to be a better prayer. It's not to feel guilty. It's to be encouraged. But we can't ask ourselves, if we're not praying, why aren't we praying? Do I remember, first of all, that God loves me? God loves us. God loves you. That came upon me in a new way a few weeks ago. In a book I'm reading by Sinclair Ferguson called The Whole Christ, I think I had forgotten. I wanted to run up and down the street saying, God loves me. God loves you. That's why you ought to pray. Do I love him? Do I want to know him better? Do I pray even when I don't have to? When there's no urgent need? I realize there's always urgent need isn't at the top of my mind, do I still pray? And so we want to set aside times for prayer, both individually and as a church. And don't forget, you can pray the Bible. Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Pray the Bible. One writer put it like this, in terms of our private prayer. Private prayer shows who we really are spiritually. Kind of a diagnosis for us. But it's also essential in healing the many places we find ourselves broken, needy, lacking, and rebellious. Private prayer kind of shows where we are spiritually, where we've been, where we need to go. It also helps us see these places where we're broken, we're needy, we're lacking, and we're rebellious. Private prayer can help us see these things and help us work through them. But I want to close by going through some the benefits of us praying together as a congregation. Here's some things. There's great power from heaven as we pray. If you look in Matthew 18, which we typically look at as a Matthew 18, 15 to 18, that where Jesus is teaching us how to impart discipline in the church, approach the person, then get a witness, and then bring them to the church. It's where it says, you know what, I marked that in my Bible so I could read it. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. There's a powerful spiritual dynamic going on as we gather as a church to take our prayers and to bring our adoration, our confession, our thanksgiving, our supplications before the throne room of heaven. Power comes. we do this together as a church. We get more joy. I mean, do you ever sort of arrive here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night and you're kind of down and you're lifted up as we sing praises and then as we pray? I know that happens to me. Even tonight, I feel uplifted through our time of singing. In a sense, singing is a certain way of praying together. Next, God's glorified in us. He's glorified as we gather together and as we pray for one another. That's how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians. You also must help us by prayer. You, he's saying to the congregations, please pray for us so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. As we pray, as God answers, people say, thank you, Lord, and God gets glory. So there's great power, there's joy, there's glory to God. Of course, for us, number four, we grow together spiritually. We grow together as we pray. We grow together in unity. We grow together in our mission, and understanding our mission. Two more things. Five. God may give answers that we never would have known about if we hadn't prayed. We might see new things coming from the Lord that we never expected because we get together and pray for it. But then finally, we get to know Jesus better. In a recent book called Prayer, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God, the author writes, by praying with friends, you will be able to hear and see facets of Jesus that you have not yet perceived. And so, final question. Are you really on speaking terms with God? Are you on speaking terms with God? Let's pray individually and together and kind of figure that out. All right? What kind of speaking terms we're on with our gracious and wondrous Lord? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you would develop within us, give us a joyous inner compulsion to constantly know of your presence and to bring our praises and our petitions before you and our confessions. We thank you and pray in Christ's name.